And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. Financial freedom and retirement, those go hand in hand. And I want to talk today about retirement. I want to focus on your retirement. And here's a scenario. Okay, here's a scenario for you. You finally do it. You do that thing. You head into retirement. You leave the job, the career, the coworkers. You leave it all behind. You're ready to enjoy those golden years finally. Ready to enjoy some time with the grandkids. Ready to do some traveling. You finally hit that age. You have a decent nest egg saved up. You've run the numbers. You've talked with your financial planner. You've got a budget, and you're ready to go. So you do it. Congratulations. Hey, great. Welcome to retirement. Uh-oh. But then what happens? What are we seeing right now? Inflation hits. The stock market tanks. The mood all around you seems to darken. What now? Well, you know, I recently retired from corporate America. That was earlier this year, right as that inflation bug was climbing higher. I left the job in March, and the rate at that point was 8.5%. It had been above 7% actually for a handful of months after years and years and years of hovering at or around or even below 2%. So inflation was there. Was I shocked? Did I hit the brakes? No, I didn't. I was prepared. And I'll tell you a little bit later in the show what I did to make sure that inflation bug was not an issue for me. Sure, it's still painful. Don't get me wrong, to go shopping or fill up my truck. We hauled the RV bunker down to Central Texas for a trip to Inks Lake, if you know where that is, a little bit northwest of Austin, to enjoy the cool waters during these shocking heat waves that we're having. But tanking up that truck, pulling that RV was painful. But there are things that you can do to alleviate that pressure. So back to retirement, perhaps your retirement. Here's the thing. I'm watching the volatility out there right now. So it's not just inflation. I'm watching the volatility in the stock markets and other markets where people maybe park their money. And I feel for the people that recently did actually finally reach that, quote, retirement age and have headed out to enjoy their golden years. People like me that just pulled the trigger. I hope that they put things into place to ensure that that they do have an enjoyable retirement and not one that, you know, I want it to last and I want it to be free of worry. Free of worry and, you know, the big question, are my retirement savings going to last long enough? Free of the worry, am I going to have to start more closely watching my spending, counting pennies, right, in the face of inflation? Free of the worry, am I going to have to go back to work? Free of the worry, is that stock market going to destroy all that I've worked for? It's down. Yeah, it's gone back up a little bit here and there, but it is down quite a bit on the year. So today what I want to do is take a look at some of the retirement risks that can feed those worries. And they're real. These are things you should think about and plan for. And then I'll talk about taking a different approach to preparing for a successful, enjoyable, worry-free, and very, very, possibly very, very long, and even early, like I did, early retirement. First, I found myself wondering, hey, okay, thinking about retirement, what is the common approach? We're going to save a nest egg. We're going to save a pile of money. And I found myself wondering, how are people doing right now on their path to retirement? So they're not retired. They're working on that. You know, that traditional path, that savings path. And this relates to retirement. I'm going to call this savings risk with the question, are you even going to get there? You know, most Americans, if you do any research at all, or if you've probably heard this on this very program or other shows out there, most Americans are behind on their retirement savings. And you'll always see it phrased that way, their retirement savings. Of course, many just don't take the effort to save at all. That's a problem, of course. And then a lot of folks are saving, but they're not saving enough. They don't have enough put aside. And again, here, if you do any digging at all, I was looking online. This is Synchrony Bank. They produce or have credit cards, typically under branded names for other companies, businesses, whatever, consumer cards. But they have a good summary. What is the retirement or the median retirement savings by age? If you're in your 20s, $16,000. Great, you got some time. 30s, $45,000. My cohort in your 40s, you're at $63,000. Look, that retirement window's not that far away. This is median. 50s, $117,000. And when we get up into the 60s, the median, which is the middle point, right? If you take everybody's retirement savings and line them up, this is the very middle of that row of piles of gold. It's $172,000. That's the median. What about the average? Average tells you a little bit if you take those two together. I'm just going to jump to the older cohort. My cohort, it's somewhere between from the 40s to 49, somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 on average that we have saved. Seems a far cry from what my peers would need in 20 years if they wait for that, quote, retirement age. Ages 50 to 59, you're doing a little better, $150,000 to $220,000 on average. And those folks that are at retirement's door, ages 60 to 69, you should be retired already. And on today's show, I've been just watching the markets out there, the stock market, everything else that where people go to park their funds, and thinking about people that are headed for retirement. I headed for retirement earlier in the year. I'm in my late 40s, very, very early relative to my, quote, retirement age. We talk about it on the show all the time. Retirement is not an age. It's a number. Now, if you talk to any financial planner, they're going to tell you that number is some pile of cash that you have available to draw down. And if you're headed for retirement and you're saving for retirement, we talked about what I call savings risk. The risk is simply there that you're not going to get that pile of cash built up in time to retire. Now, you may be thinking in the back of your mind, hey, well, the Social Security, Medicare, I'm going to rely on some of those government programs along the way as well to supplement, maybe. We'll talk about that actually a little bit later. But if you are quietly saving in the background, having your employer pull a little bit here and there from your 401k, we're going to talk about some alternatives that will really boost your opportunity to truly retire and to retire sooner. Other risks around retirement. Now you've reached that retirement threshold. You've pulled the trigger. You have retired. A really big one that not everybody thinks about. Everybody's very focused on what the stock market's doing right now because it's a veritable roller coaster ride. And the bigger risk is simply longevity, meaning your lifespan. Now, looking back at those savings balances that we heard about for the folks in their 60s, boy, this is a really big risk. If you've got a couple hundred K in the bank and that's it, and you outlive or live beyond your expected lifespan, you know, most people expect, they look at their parents, right? And they expect to live as long as their parents did, or maybe somebody else. Maybe there's somebody in the family tree that lived a little bit longer. Everybody died at 60, but Aunt Bessie, she made it to 75. I think I'm going to be like Aunt Bessie. Maybe you've got that relative out there that you're focused on, but most people look at their parents as that benchmark. And what if you're wrong? What if you live a decade longer, or even two decades longer? That's 20 years. If you're planning for this end point, let's call it, for your lifespan, and you go 20 years longer, what are you going to do? I mean, think about it. Healthcare is getting more and more expensive. We'll talk about that. It's a risk as well. But as a result of the improved healthcare and the technology out there, people are living longer. You know, per the CDC, Centers for Disease Control here in the U.S., we heard all about them over the past few years, of course. Life expectancy in the U.S., this is across both genders, is now 77 years of age for the total population. It's actually down This is 2020. It's actually down a little bit, 1.8 years for men compared to 2019, and down a year and a half for women, again, compared to 2019. I guess that reflects the reality of COVID, I suppose. But 77 years, you know, both my parents were 60 when they passed. And if I'm doing, as many Americans do, and I'm planning around that age of 60, but I make it to the U.S. benchmark now of 77, that's 17 years. What am I going to do if I budgeted, essentially? So I'm going to repeat the question that I started with at the opening of the show. Do you want to spend your retirement years worrying that you won't have enough money to last as long as you do? And do you want to have to watch then every penny that you spend? That's longevity risk in a nutshell. True. And if you have a financial planner, if you talk to them, they're going to bring this up. It's something you have to plan for. Now, what do some people do to address that longevity risk? You know, you might think that you'll short circuit that risk by continuing to work. Think again. There's something out there. You know, a lot of people do plan on that. Hey, I'm going to work some, a little, a lot, perhaps. Some people plan on working in retirement. Well, there's something, of course, there's some title for any type of risk. There's something called employment risk for those that are retired. And here again, just quick digging online, a Yahoo Money article titled, "Working in Retirement Often is More a Dream Than Reality." Carrie Hannon is the author. This was earlier this year. He does point out many workers are, in fact, staying on the job longer and or maybe even plan to continue working in their golden years. We've seen more retirees. We talked about that. We've talked about the Great Resignation on the show. Some people are having to come back. And in this article, they say that 7 in 10 workers, 70%, expect to continue to work for pay as a source of their retirement income. So I just have a fundamental question here. They don't talk about this in this article. If I'm retired, yet I am now working, am I retired? I don't get the juxtaposition of these two concepts here. It makes no sense to me. But that's what people are doing. They're in fact, 1 in 5, 20% of those that are planning on that retirement income, quote unquote, from a job as their major source of income. Major source. Folks, if you're planning on retiring and you're planning on working, you are not truly planning on retiring. And in fact, some people, of course, and this goes back to the savings risk, those people that are not saving at all, an increasing, this is the sad part, an increasing percentage of workers say they will never retire. In fact, in 2022, when they did this most recent poll, it was 15% of people said, I'm just never going to retire, which is up. That's up from 10% in 2021, just across the course of a year. So what have we seen from 2020 to 2021 to 2022? Markets went up and up and up, and now they've crashed, and inflation is here. So we see an uptick in the number of people that, again, say they will never retire. Now, back to the folks that plan to work. Unfortunately, it says the expectations of working in retirement can often backfire. There are a number of reasons for this. We know that there is ageism out there. There's that discrimination against those older people. If that's you, you may have encountered this. I had Chuck on the show a couple of years ago, in fact, one of our free workshop presenters. And he ran into this very thing multiple times over the course of his career. And he said, I'm done with this, and became a real estate investor and owns his own small multifamily community now, which he lives off of. He doesn't have to worry about the employment risk any longer. He doesn't have to worry about that ageism, which is a veritable thing out there. The other problem is, we know, again, going back to the comment around healthcare, technology keeps improving. Technology keeps changing. Well, you have to change with technology, and if you're not staying on top of your skill sets, you become less valuable in whatever that role is that you were doing or that you think you might do. You have to keep those skills up to date. So I'm going to repeat the question. Do you really want to have to work in retirement? Is that even retirement? Hey, we'll be right back.
questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Well, one thing it has meant for us, and we have to compliment you, you've given us our time back. And I say our time because we got married 33 years ago, and we got married in July. Do you know why? Well, that was before I met Lifestyles. I used to work for Ford Motor Company. And with Ford Motor Company, I was in the automotive division. They have shut down during July, the first 2 weeks of July.
So you had to wait for a shutdown to get married?
Yes.
He actually.
Whoa, that's dedication there.
He made me change our wedding date. It was supposed to be June 15th, and I changed.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if I had been in Lifestyle, I could have gotten married when I wanted to.
And the ring would have been bigger.
Thank you.
Ready to get your time back like Vivian and Cornell? Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the program. You're listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Andy Webb. I'm your host today, and I thank you for listening. If you missed the earlier part of the show or want to catch some of our other shows, you can listen to the other radio hosts and, of course, listen to Del Walmsley, the founder of Lifestyles Unlimited. Go to our website. It's lifestylesunlimited.com, and there's a very clear radio button there. And you can find our past shows there, archived, all kinds of content. We're talking today on the program about retirement risk. It's just something I've been thinking about as I watch the market swinging up and back down and watch inflation going up and up and up. And, you know, talking with my father-in-law, we were just in Central Texas. He is retired. Now, he did this a couple of years ago. We're going to talk about something here in a minute called sequence risk or sequence of returns risk, which is a very, very big risk in retirement for those that, especially those that have just retired. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there right now that are thinking about this very thing. They may not be using that term. I'll define that for you. But we talked about savings risk. You're just not saving enough as you approach or think about retirement. Longevity risk, the risk that you're going to outlive your money. That ties into what you save, doesn't it, if you're saving. Employment risk. And we're just looking about at that notion. A lot of people plan to continue to work in retirement, which, again, confounds me because I don't know how that's retirement if you're still working. Now, a lot of people at Lifestyles Unlimited achieve their financial freedom and become real estate retired, meaning they leave that corporate career or whatever it is they've been doing for decades and decades, and then devote their time to something they want to do. And that may be working in some capacity in a field. Maybe it doesn't pay as much, but it's their true passion. It's what they really want to do. They love it. They enjoy it. They've wanted to put their time towards this thing for a long, long time instead of sitting in front of the desk in the cubicle doing the corporate thing. They may be working. They may be planning. Now, what I read is that 57%, which is over half, 57% of workers do, in fact, plan to work in retirement. Not for that thing they want to do that they love to do. There's a variety of reasons. It does include things like, you know, keeping yourself active. But a big one goes back to medical cost and health care, because it is up so much. Some people may want to find that health insurance. If you're retiring ahead of the quote-unquote retirement age when you can get Medicare, what do? Well, some people may work for that very reason. Other than that, it's just simply having that income because it costs them so much to maintain that lifestyle. But employment becomes a risk as you age out of that favorable population. Your skill sets diminish. You have to keep working on those. I'll tell you, there are other things you can work on instead that will get you over that hump. We'll talk about that in the latter segment and keep that income coming in passively so you don't have to work. So that's employment risk. I mentioned sequence risk. What does that mean? Or sequence of returns risk. Again, if you do work with a financial planner, they'll be familiar with this. And what this refers to, let me define sequence of returns first. It's the order in which a return on your investment portfolio occurs. Let's just say, for example, I'm just going to throw some random numbers out there. Don't go look at what the actual market did in 2015, 16, whatever. Don't know. Didn't look at that. Let's just say in 2015, your portfolio earned you 10%. It was up 10% in value. The next year, 2016, it was up 15%. Hey, great. Uh-oh, but then in 2017, it was down 20%. Then in 2018, it was down 15%. Then in 2019, it was up 10%. That 10, 15, 20, down 15, up. That's the sequence of returns on that investment portfolio. And the way that that sequence, the way that those returns fall right after you retire can have a huge impact. What's happened once you retire? So you've been feeding, you've been following that traditional map to retirement all your life, which means that you've been putting that money aside religiously into that 401k. Maybe your employer just deducts that automatically. You haven't thought about it in years. You know it's there. The balance looks good. Hey, it's a couple hundred thousand, seems good. But then you stop. Because you retire, there are no more contributions being made to that pile. So the pile stops growing, at least from that perspective. Now you're fully 100% dependent on the market and the vagaries of that market. So you're no longer contributing. And in fact, you're doing the opposite. You're now withdrawing. You've built up this pile so that you can retire. Well, that pile is there now to fund your lifestyle. So you're drawing down your principal every couple weeks, every month, however often you have to do that. And if we look at the first half of 2022, the S&P 500 is down 21% for 6 months of the year. 21% drop. NASDAQ, if you're on the tech side of things, it's down even more, 30%. So if you've got your mound of funds sitting in that 401k and your plan was to draw that down every year, 4% was the common recommendation, 6%, whatever that amount is, or maybe you've got an absolute dollar amount in mind that you've budgeted for and figured out, I need, let's just say, $60,000 a year. That's $5,000 a month. So you're pulling this amount down. You've sat down with your financial planner. You're going to take that out. But now the market is also down 21 or even 30%. So on top of the market being down, you're pulling funds out as well. And what that means is now when the market does start to recover, whenever that happens, who knows, it has even farther to go up for you, who is now living off of those retirement savings. So the sequence of returns risk is the risk that the market does exactly what we're seeing right now, and the bottom drops out exactly at that time when you have to start taking your funds out as well. You know that if you have $100,000 sitting in a fund and it loses 50% value, it drops to $50,000. Well, you don't need a 50% gain to get back to 100. You need a 100% gain to go from 50 to 100. It's far harder to climb back up than it is for that drop to occur. And like I said, add on top of that the fact that you're now dependent and living off of those funds. That is the huge problem with sequence of returns risk, or sequence risk, when that market portfolio is your main source of income. So I'm going to repeat the question. Do you really want to be held hostage and have to worry about the vagaries of the stock market? Do you want to have to sweat every time the index, whatever index you like to follow, drops 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever? I know too many people that are sitting there right now. They have retired, and that worry is huge on their mind. Talk to a lot of people about this. I think longevity risk is a big one that weighs people. A lot of people plan to retire, don't want to think about work, and employment risk is probably not on their mind. Savings risk, haven't thought about it. I think I have enough. It's kind of a nebulous thing for me. But longevity risk, the risk that I'm going to outlive that money, and sequence risk. Again, you probably don't think of it in those terms, but the risk that the market is going to drop out on you early in your retirement is a very, very big deal. But there are ways to address that. Okay, I'm presenting the risks around retirement. Sounds pretty risky to me. Maybe I shouldn't do it at all. Well, 57% of Americans do plan to work. 15% say they're not going to retire at all. But if you want to go the other direction and you do want to retire, I do have a solution for you. We're talking today about retirement and some of the risks that you may encounter along with retirement. We talked about savings risk. You just haven't saved enough, coupled with longevity risk. The risk that you maybe are planning to live to be, let's say, 65, and, well, you make it to 85. The risk that you outlast your money, it's a real thing. Employment risk. Some people plan to continue to work in retirement. One of the big risks around there is that you, as an older person, sometimes are not as marketable to those employers for various reasons. Your skill set may have diminished. You got to keep on top of that if that's your plan. Maintain those skills. And then sequence risk, very, very big one out there. If the bottom drops out of the market, like we've seen, right as you go into retirement, and now you're withdrawing funds from that portfolio, you're going to have even farther to go, an even steeper climb to make as that portfolio recovers, if it does, to get to that number that you thought you were going to have in retirement. Very, very big risk. Other retirement risks. I've mentioned health throughout. That's a very, very big one. And one of the reasons people continue to work is due to health. Just simply the cost of health care. It's been increasing for a long time now. Way before we had 9.1% inflation, health cost, health care has been up massively anyhow. And a lot of people are worried about that. Right, that health cost, especially if you are waiting until you're in your 60s to retire, you're older and things are starting to break down. It's just part of life. That adds to that need for health care. Now, the other risk, I would say, and this goes hand in hand with the health care side of things, is the government and possible government changes to things like Medicare or Social Security. A lot of people plan on that three-legged stool, one leg of which is Social Security. And you've probably heard the trust funds that are invested to supply the payments for Social Security, those are set to run out in 2035 per the latest analysis. And at that time, so Social Security is going to be able to pay the scheduled benefits, the known benefits, what everybody that's retired and retiring soon are going to be collecting. The Social Security admin has a finger on the pulse of that. Those are projected to run out in 2035. And at that point, they're still going to be taking in the Social Security taxes, but they're not going to be taking those in at a fast enough rate unless they take the taxes up to cover 100% of the benefits. The analysis now is that they'll be able, in 2035, they'll be paying at 80%. So if you think you're going to get $2,000 a month in supplemental income from Social Security, apply 80% to that number at this point. So maybe it's only $1,600. And who knows what will happen in the interim. That is essentially, if you're budgeting, if you're planning on that number, that is essentially an immediate 20% pay cut right there. And if I think about the sequence of returns risk, if you've sat down with a financial planner and they say, hey, 4% or 6% withdrawal rate, if you're not working on from a perspective of an absolute dollar amount that I want to withdraw every year, and you adhere to that percentage amount, 6%, let's say, and the market drops 20%, you've just taken a considerable pay cut there as well. So a lot of risk. Like I said, a lot of risk around retirement, and why bother at all? Why bother? I don't want to worry. What, me worry? No. I'll tell you what. Rather than take that traditional focus, rather than building a nest egg, just one single egg that you deplete over time with those periodic withdrawals in the face of market declines and everything else, let's say you put into place a golden goose that lays those eggs for you every year. And in fact, that that goose, as it lays those eggs, it doesn't get skinnier and skinnier. No, it goes the other way. It gets fatter and fatter. It's a very healthy goose. Savings risk? Look, don't save. That's the problem. Don't save. Invest. That's the message here. Invest. Invest in what? Assets that are going to cash flow. Assets that are going to put money into your pocket every month or quarterly. Assets that gain in value. That goose is getting fatter. Assets that gain in value over time. And quite frankly, if you're buying the right type of asset and buying right, those assets can create value almost immediately in a lot of cases. If you're doing it right. I'm talking about assets that create wealth and are not depleted every time that you draw down some funds. These are assets that have solid fundamentals, a solid base. What I'm talking about is rental real estate. I'm talking about single family houses. I'm talking about apartment communities. Yes, you can invest in apartments. Now, I've been a member at Lifestyles Unlimited for a little over a decade now. And when I went to the free workshop 10 plus years ago, I went picturing investing in a house or maybe a duplex. You know, that's what my wife and I had talked about prior to going into the free workshop. Hey, maybe we can buy a duplex. No, you can invest in apartments as well. Very eye-opening. If you want to learn about that free workshop, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a free workshop. It's all online. It's virtual, hour and a half of your time. It is a live seminar. There's a live presenter there, and you can ask questions and such in the chat. But, you know, single family houses and apartment communities, the fundamentals are there. Why is that? People need now and will always need a place to live. That's not going to change. And you and I both know that there is truly a lack of quality rental property in the market. So if you can put together these assets and put together a quality product, you're going to cash flow. In fact, we say it here, it must cash flow. I'm not going to invest in it if it does not put cash into my pocket every month if it's a single family house or on a quarterly basis with apartments. Now, you're collecting rents. If you're managing an apartment community, if you own it by yourself, that's a monthly thing. I invest passively in apartments. I put my money into the project and those distributions come back out on a quarterly basis. Just the frequency of distributions, the timing is a little bit different on apartments. So it's got a cash flow, and we want to find assets where we can create value, where we can create equity through the process of buying, renovating, thinking about a house renovating, or maybe repositioning is the term we would use around apartments, and then renting out that asset or increasing the rent if there are people in place on those assets. When you improve the product, yes, you have a right to take the rents up if the market supports that. So that's what we do. Instead of saving money, instead of putting money into a bank account or a 401k and hoping for the best, anytime I read about a 401k, it's referred to as retirement savings. It's a savings account. That is it. It is not an investment. A true investment like rental real estate is going to be paying you on a regular basis. And we get that cash flow in our pocket. So if I need to live off of a certain budgeted amount, I mentioned $60,000 per year in an earlier example, $5,000 a month, I can very easily buy enough single-family houses that throw off that much cash flow every month that I can live. You know, I told you, I retired earlier this year. How have I been faring in the face of inflation? I'll tell you what, fewer houses out there on the market for sale right now. People are choosing not to sell. People are choosing not to buy. Instead, they're choosing to rent. So there's higher demand for our properties. Rents are up. We're increasing our rents. And that is why real estate makes a great inflation hedge. So how are we faring? We're doing great. The rents are up. We've added, in fact, we're not just relying on our existing property base. We've added a couple more houses. We continue to buy, and we've added a couple more passive apartment investments to our portfolio. In fact, those just closed, both of them, last week. Got an email, bam, closed, yay. And 2 days later, got the next email. So we're putting things into place that are going to cash flow and that are going to build wealth. And when that asset sells if we do a cash out refi on those apartments, we reinvest and we continue to make that golden goose get fatter and fatter, and that golden goose continues to put out eggs. And it's that cash flow that allows us to retire without worrying about longevity risk. I can always add another house to my portfolio if I see that I need more cash flow. I'm not worried about employment risk. I left my employer by my choice. I'm not worried about it in the face of inflation. I'm not worried about sequence risk. In fact, I pulled all of my funds out of the market. Again, I watch my fellow retirees that have hit that retirement age, that have retired, and I see the worry that they are having to deal with right now. I don't want you to have to deal with that. I want you to learn more about what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. Go to our website. I mentioned just a moment ago, lifestylesunlimited.com. And at the top, there's a yellow button that says register a free workshop, something like that. Register for that free workshop. It's an hour and a half of your time, either in the evenings. I think there are a few over the lunch hour. So learn how we make our money 5 ways with those houses, 6 ways with apartments, and how that can curtail that retirement risk and maybe even allow you to retire earlier. If you're in your 20s, 30s, like me, 40s, absolutely a possibility. And if you want to learn more, but beyond that, if you're on social media, follow us on Facebook. Our case studies that we do monthly in our various markets are broadcast there, so you can see real people with real results presenting real numbers, so you can get a flavor for just how we do what we do to curtail that retirement risk and retire early and head off into the sunset worry-free. Thanks for listening. You have a great day.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.